Hi there. Okay, she was good. We're going to have you back, Kristen. That was awesome. I love it when announcements are entertaining, don't you? Hey, so we are in the process of a new series called Wild and Free, and it is of all things the Holy Spirit. This is session two. If you did not get to hear session one from Pastor Les, I would encourage you to go online and listen to it because it's a really powerful message, really laying the foundations of who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity is, and he said a few things about it that I want to just remind us of. He said this: the Holy Spirit is God. He is one of the three, the big three. He is a part of the Trinity. He is God. He also said this, that he's the manifest presence of God in our world. It is the thing that we experience when we encounter the presence of God. We're not encountering God the Father in person. We're not encountering Jesus. We're encountering the Holy Spirit. And it's important to have that foundation. It's important to have that understanding. It's God's personal working presence in our midst. I mean, just kind of let that settle in. And I have a warning for you as we step into this section of the message. You are going to be inundated with the Word, with Scripture. I think I have 31 slides and I have 35 minutes to talk. So that's moving, right? So if you have your Bible, have it ready. If you have a notepad, or take picture shots of the screen, whatever, most of the scriptures will be on the screen. But it's going to be important for you to understand that as we step into really understanding who the Holy Spirit is, we can't do that apart from God's Word. All right? Okay, so you ready? Here we go. This is the next step into the journey of the Spirit-filled life and what it means to have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, Les talked last week. He said this in slide one. It says that God is with us, he's in us, and he comes upon us. And those three things are illustrated throughout Scripture. Right? Last week, Les really emphasized the part about God being with us, that if you don't know God, if you haven't been born again, if you have no relationship with God, the only relationship he can have with you is one apart from you. And it's kind of like when you're walking down the street with a friend, they're with them, you're walking with them, you're walking beside them. And what happens in that dynamic is the Holy Spirit has one job and one role and one responsibility in that relationship, and that is, right, to convince you and convict you that God's real. To convict you of your sin, to recognize that you're not really, you don't really have it all together. Pastor Les said it well. He said, in explaining the Holy Spirit, he says it's hovering over the waters of creation, ready to bring life, order, and beauty to the chaos that was the firmament. That was the Holy Spirit's role in creation. He was just hovering, waiting for God to speak the word, right, and then put it into action. Right? And see, the same thing happens in us, is the Holy Spirit is hovering. If we don't know him, he's hovering over our lives, waiting to bring life, right, out of death, waiting to bring freedom out of bondage, right, and help us step into the reality of this relationship with God that he's calling us to. Does that make sense? Okay, so likewise, it says, you know, when you're walking with a person, you know, you walk beside them, the Holy Spirit would be kind of like this. Have you ever been in a situation where you're having a conversation with somebody or you're listening to a testimony, you're hearing a story, and all of a sudden you start to get inspired? You're like, oh man, it just starts to speak to you, to encourage you, to uplift you, and stuff like that. It's like that's the Holy Spirit bringing up faith in your heart to get you to respond to it. How many times have you ever been really motivated by a speaker to do something? You said, man, I am going to do that. And by the time you got home, you forgot what he said. Anybody besides me? Right? I mean, we've all experienced that, right? It's like we never know when these opportunities are going to come up, when the Holy Spirit's convicting. Right? But when he does, we need to respond. All right? So I want to, in John 6:44, it says this: "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." No one can come to the Father unless he draws them. How does he draw them? He sends his Spirit. So if you've ever been convicted, if you've ever been nudged towards maybe making a decision for God, guess what? You heard the voice of the Spirit. Amen? All right, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good, okay? Romans 10:17 says this: "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ." Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of Christ. As the gospel is preached, faith rises up in us, and we feel like we need to respond. In John 16:7-11, Jesus said this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And see, this is the reality that we step into when we talk about encountering the Holy Spirit of God in our life before we know him. Right? It's this. It's like, for those that are on their way to Christ, the Holy Spirit is working to bring faith to you and me. To hear the truth of the good news of Jesus, then those of us who believe, we step into this reality of relationship with God. Right. Now, here's what often happens. How many of you guys have loved ones that you would love to see surrender their life to Christ? Right. Hands up everywhere, right? How many of you have tried to play the Holy Spirit in their life? Right? It's so true. What we want to do is we want them to see the reality of just the bondage or the hold that they're in, the life that they don't have. And so what we try to do is convince them of how wrong or bad they are so that they'll turn to Christ. How many of you know that doesn't work? Yeah, me too. When I came home, I'm thinking, I'm going to preach the gospel to my whole family and they're all going to get saved and it's going to be awesome. And I ostracized pretty much every one of them. Right, Cheryl? And one of my sisters sitting right there. And because it's not your or my job, right, to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It's God's. And he sends his Holy Spirit to do that. Right? And he does it when we hear the word of God and we're convicted and convinced by it. Does that make sense? So, you know, we're talking about this with you. This is what's happening. But what I really want to talk to you about today is the in you part. Because that's kind of where we're at, all right? So in you is where the Spirit stops dwelling with you but comes inside you, where the Spirit moves from outside the temple to dwelling inside the temple. And this takes place when a person is born again. And what that means is a person who truly accepts God in his or her heart. And what happens, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So John 14:15 says this: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And will be in you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he got crucified. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." See, that's the beginning stages of the in you part. It's like when we respond to the gospel of Jesus, what Jesus promises is, listen, at that time, not only am I going to be with you, I'm going to be in you through the power of my Holy Spirit. Right? It's just an amazing thing to think about. And then that third piece of upon you, I just want to touch base with it for a second. It says, the Bible says this in Acts 1:8. It's not on the screen. It says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And we'll dive deeper into that as this series goes on. So let's really step into this in us part, okay? I'm going to read this. This is not on the screen. It's a story that Les shared last week, the story of Nicodemus, where Jesus, this Pharisee came to Jesus at night and had some questions, was trying to understand what was going on, right? And this is what Jesus told him. He says, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then Nicodemus said, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will, and you hear it. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." You see, the spiritual birth occurs, right, when we respond to the gospel, when we repent of our sins, when we turn to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, okay? We totally lean on him in active faith for a relationship with our Father and an eternal home in heaven. We don't trust in our own goodness. We don't trust in our own efforts, right? We don't trust in our church affiliation. We don't trust in attendance. We don't trust to any of those things to reconcile us to God, because none of those things really, really matter. What really, really matters is being born again by the Spirit of God, okay? And so as we experience this conviction from the Holy Spirit, what happens is he goes from walking with us to being in us. And this dynamic begins to happen. And it's in that moment when we confess our sin, we surrender, we confess our sin, we recognize that apart from God, I'm not righteous enough, I'm not good enough, I don't have what it takes to bridge this gap between God and I. Right? So I need help. And when we surrender to him, help comes. Jesus called him the Helper, Holy Spirit. Amen? So the term we use in church world is regeneration. Regeneration, generate means to bring life. Re means to, again. So to bring life again, to be born again. The process of regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, okay? In us, to move us into a place of relationship with God that will absolutely change you. So let me, you ever met ever had a friend or a relationship where the minute you start hanging out with them, you just started to change? And all of a sudden you maybe started doing things you didn't do before? Or started maybe considering things you'd never done before? Good or bad, right? It's because that relationship influences. All relationships influence in some way or another. You can't get around it. You might be the influencer, or you might be the one being influenced. I always told my daughters growing up, you have a choice. You can either be influenced or influence. And I always encouraged them to be the one that was doing the influencing, because that'll lead you down the road that you're choosing to go instead of the road that somebody else is choosing to take you. And so often we take the road that someone else is choosing for us, right? But God is wanting to intersect your life and show you the road that he has purposed for you, that he has planned for you, so that you can live your best life, all right? So in Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, it says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." This is how salvation happens in you and me as a believer when we repent and surrender our life to God, is regeneration takes place. The Holy Spirit comes in and he brings life where there was death and brings freedom where there was bondage, all right? Les says this really well. I love how he says this. The Holy Spirit comes in us for us and comes upon us for others, right? So when this regeneration is happening, this first phase of your relationship with God is for you. for you. Oftentimes we get it and we're so fired up about it, we want to share it with others, and that's good, and you need to do that because it's just it's natural and coming out of you. But you need to understand this, that when God establishes a relationship with you, he is after you. He's wanting to free you. He's wanting to deliver you. He's wanting to help you. Okay? So I got to tell you, my daughter just had a baby about 7 weeks ago. He's super cute, and we're watching him grow, and that's super fun. I could talk for the next 20 minutes and show you a bunch of pictures, but we're, you know, that's not why we're here today, right? But anyway, he's really cute. Okay. But early on in her pregnancy, she shared this app with Joyce and I called Bump App. Are you guys familiar with the Bump App? All right, this thing is amazing, right? I mean, it's just incredible. You know, when you get pregnant, there's all kinds of things happening in your body, and the woman, she's feeling them and stuff like that, but she doesn't quite know what's going on. Well, the Bump App will tell you, right? I mean, everything. It tells you how big the baby is, where it's like a peanut or like an apricot and then an avocado, and it just walks you through this growth process, and it tells you some of the signs that you can expect happening in your body, and one of them has to do with lightning, and I won't get into the details of that, but don't want to experience lightning anywhere on my body, but apparently women do when they're pregnant, and I'm reading this stuff, I'm saying, this is fascinating, because it was really a roadmap of telling me what's going on in the body of my daughter, you know, while she's pregnant and while this baby's developing in her. And I thought about that. I said, you know, once you're born again, you know, like the Bump App, this is a reality. The Word of God defines, clarifies, and explains the movement of God's Spirit inside of us. Right? You need to grasp that, okay? Think of this Bump App telling a mom everything that's going on inside of her body, every little detail. Right? When I'm telling you, the Word of God is designed to do that for you after you get born again. Because here's what happens when you get born again. All of a sudden, things that you used to be able to do, you realize, oh man, I don't know if I can do that anymore. Because you realize it's sin. It's a sinful lifestyle. It's not an action that's glorifying God. It's something that I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me I should probably not do that anymore. Right? That's the Holy Spirit communicating to you through his word, right? To help you, guide you, and let you know, hey, these are the things that are happening in your life. And I'll give you an example. In Colossians 1:13 says this, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. One of the realities that you'll experience when you're born again is it's like, wow, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm forgiven. God has set me free. In John 1:12-13 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the reality that's happening in us as we step in to believing God. And this is super cool. This isn't on the screen, but in John 7, Jesus said this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out. He cried out. He screamed this at the top of his lungs at this festival that was going on so that everybody would hear him. He was trying to get their attention, to get them to realize this is the reality that you're looking for as you come to these feasts and these festivals. As you do anything that has anything to do with God, here's what he said. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, if you need something, he said, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he said this. Now, this is he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But he was pointing them to this future, this reality that when you believe, when you accept me, when you accept the sacrifice that I'm going to make somewhere down the line at whatever point in his ministry this was, he said, at that point, when you receive that, what I'm going to give you, right, is the Holy Spirit that's going to produce life, living water in you. I remember sitting in a prison cell awaiting trial that could potentially send me to the electric chair as a 19-year-old kid. And I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ that said, I'll forgive you. I'm like, okay. And it took some time, but over time, I realized that God truly did want to forgive me. And when he forgave me, that day, I remember June 11th, 1978, sitting in a small two-man cell in Thompson, Georgia, with my life over, I surrendered my life to him. And I said, okay, God, I repent. And I'm telling you, in that moment, I felt the life of God come in me in a way that I can't describe with words. It's not describable. But what it did is it completely, radically changed my life. And here's the reality. If you are born again and there is no change in you, I got bad news for you. You're not born again. You're not. But I also have good news for you. All it takes is for you to surrender and to give it up. To give up your life for his. The exchange that I made with God, February 21st of this year, 30 years out of prison. Married 28, two daughters, grandbaby. You can't make that stuff up. That's what happens when you surrender your life to God. Change happens in you. The wicked, evil, like murderous person that I was as a 19-year-old kid, and I was all of those things, God changed. Because I was born again. That's what born again is. And he says this river of living water will flow out of you. And listen to this. In John 20, 21, Jesus said to them, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke 24:44-49, he said, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Most theologians believe when he said receive the Holy Spirit, that's the moment that the disciples were born again, because Jesus had not yet been glorified, so they couldn't be born again before he went to the cross. And he went to the cross and he got resurrected. We celebrated just a couple weeks ago at Easter, right? Then he appears to them after that time, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. What he was saying, and he preached the gospel to him. He said, listen, this is the deal. The reality that the Son of Man must suffer and die and pay the price for your sin and pay the price for your disobedience and pay the price for your resistance to God. And they accepted that testimony, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again, and then he said, okay, now go and wait because there's something else you need. But this message isn't about that today. We'll get to that later, right? This message is about being born again. This message is about the Holy Spirit in us. This message is about, you know, the addictions you can't break, the sin patterns that you're having struggles with, the things that you try to do in your own strength and your own ability that you just can't accomplish. Right? The reason why you can't accomplish them is if you did, we wouldn't need God. But he knows you can't. So he's inviting you into this relationship to give you a helper that can help you. Can help you in all of those things. So Lee Cummings, in his book, The School of the Spirit, he says this, the Holy Spirit frees us, sanctifies us, and seals us. And this is the beginning work of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom from the trappings of the enemy. And in John 8:36, yeah, it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Right? See, freedom is a part of being born again. So when I got born again, I was in jail, okay? I had drugs coming in from one of the trustees. I was selling them, okay? I was making homemade wine in the shower, okay? I was smoking 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day. I cussed like a sailor because I was in the Navy before I got locked up. I was doing all the wicked things that I had always done, just doing them in jail, okay? I got born again. That morning, Sunday morning, and the drugs were coming in the afternoon. We were supposed to distribute some of the homemade, we called it Buck, moonshine, whatever you want to call it, distribute that in the afternoon, stuff like that. And I get born again. And I'm laying there on my bunk, and I'm like, what do I do? Here's what I knew instinctively. I can't do that. I knew it. I knew it in my spirit. I can't do that anymore. That's just not a part of my life, right? Another interesting fact, 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day. June 11th, 1978, it's the last day I smoked a cigarette. Not a single withdrawal, no, nothing. God just decided, I'm gonna take that. I wish he'd take the cussing as quick as he took the cigarettes, right? Unfortunately, that took a little bit for me to learn how to control my tongue, and there is a part that we have to play in this regeneration process, okay? But the reality was, is like instantly, man, there was a change in my life, right? Last day I did drugs. Last day I smoked. God set me free from alcohol. I mean, all of those things. It's like, okay, God, let's do this. That's the reality of what happens when freedom comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus does. He sets us free. He sets us free. And if you go into his word, I mean, scripture after scripture will tell you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Freedom is available. The next thing he does is he sanctifies us. So sanctification isn't a word you hear a lot these days, but it is an essential part of the Holy Spirit. Because what it means is sanctification means to be set apart or to be made holy. Right? Set apart or to be made holy. It's the ongoing process that we step into as believers to allow the Holy Spirit to take us from faith to faith, to grow in our faith, and from glory to glory, to become more like him, because we are being conformed into the image of God's Son. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job. So 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Now, that last line, belief in the truth, there's a lot of things we can believe, right? And it depends on who you listen to, right? And this is why the Word of God is so important, right? It's like, I could get up here and say anything to you, but what I really want you to get is what the Word is saying to you, right? Because it's really the Word that matters. It really is. It's the truth. It's the tool that God uses to help us to understand the truth. And so if somebody's telling you something and it seems a little bit off or you're not really, really sure, ask them a question. So where's that in the Bible? And then if they start explaining things in the Bible and it's like, well, that doesn't sound like what that says. There you go. Pay attention to the Bible because it's the truth. It's the truth. Right, Romans 12:1-3 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You see, as we allow the Word of God to transform our mind, to renew our mind with what is the truth, what happens is God sanctifies us. He sets us apart for himself. He begins to use you and really help you understand how to live this life that he's called us into, which is a fun, awesome life. It's free of all of these addictions, free of all of those bondages. That's what God is inviting us into when he says he sanctifies us. And then, like Lee said, he seals us. 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22 says this, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our heart as a guarantee." I remember those first, few months as a believer, sensing this river of life flowing in me, sensing this new life, sensing this freedom, and finally getting, it was almost like this dark cloud that was over me just kind of parted, and the light started to come in, and I started to see God's intentions for how I should live my life. And it started to shift me and started to change me. And I realized, I just sensed his Spirit with me. I sensed that he was moving in me. And it's kind of like the baby bump. I couldn't really identify it all, but I knew something was going on. But when I would go to the Word, it would just open my eyes. And I would say, oh, that's what's happening in me. I feel this Spirit in me as a guarantee to know that I'm on the right track, that I'm doing what God's called me to do, that I'm stepping into this relationship that he's invited me into. And then Ephesians 1, 11 through 14 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." It's like when you surrender, God places the seal of the Holy Spirit on your life to lead you, to guide you, to protect you. And we got to go really quick because I got about 2.5 minutes. But all of that stuff, what that does, what freedom does, what sanctification does, what sealing us does, right? It allows us to experience these things, right? We have access to the Father. I'm going to read these real quick. "For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The Holy Spirit makes that a reality in your life." In John 1, 3 through 24, it says it this way, "Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." The Spirit whom he has given us. We have a Holy Spirit in us to free us, to sanctify us. So Jesus said this is not on the screen, this is in John 14, 23, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And that happens by the Holy Spirit. This is just the reality. I've rattled off about 20 scriptures already to you and stuff like that. Are you starting to understand what I'm trying to say here? Is like the Holy Spirit is an integral part of your life as a born-again believer. If you don't think it is, then I think you need to go read the Word again, because you're missing it. You're missing the reality and the truth of what God said. Jesus said this in his last message before he went to the cross. He's in the room with his disciples, and all he talked about from John 14 to John 17 was this promise of the Holy Spirit, that he had to go away so that the Holy Spirit could come, because Jesus could only be in one place, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. And everywhere is in you, is in me, if we surrender to him. We receive revelation. We receive direction, and I'm going to bypass a couple of those because I want to bring this to the end. And I want to go to this last slide. It's slide 31. It's Romans 8, 26 through 27. The point is, like, when we surrender our life to God, the Bible says that we have an advocate. We have an intercessor. And Romans 8, 26 says like this: "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And so when you choose to step into this life that God's given us, when you choose to surrender, when you choose to repent of the sinful lifestyle that you've been living, when you take these steps of faith, God comes in. How many of you have ever needed or wanted someone to pray for you? I really needed somebody to pray for me on Wednesday. I mean, I got sick as a dog, and just for 2 days, I was just not well. Wasn't sure I was going to be able to do this morning. I needed people to pray for me. And my wife sent out this to, I have intercessors and we have friends and everything else, and people started praying, and fortunately, I got better. It was good to know that I had someone praying for me, right? And you need to know that the Holy Spirit wants to pray for you. He wants to pray. He wants to intercede for you on your behalf. Part of his role, part of his responsibility, part of his job in his relationship with us is to intercede for us. And then on top of that, we have Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, who is ever interceding for us. And so we have this beautiful, like, promise from God. When I think about my life, I think about where I am today. I think about where I was 44 years ago. I see the movement of the Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me through my whole life. I see him putting me right here on this place from a prison cell in Georgia. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to change. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how bad your marriage is. I don't care how broken your body is. I don't care how difficult the addiction is. I have seen God in the last 44 years break through and bring people to freedom in every one of those areas. Everyone, without exception. I saw a blind man open his eyes and see right in front of me. And I don't know who was more surprised, him or me. But I've seen God do this in others. But I'm telling you, I know he's done it in me. Or I wouldn't be standing here. You know, we were meeting this last Tuesday, and all the campus pastors, we met with Pastor Les as we were talking about, you know, what we were trying to communicate this Sunday about the Holy Spirit in us and what that meant. And he read this poem out of a book. It's by a guy named Russ Parker. It's called The Rhythm of Renewal. I want to read it to you as we close. It says, "Holy Spirit of the living God in my life, be wild and free. Strengthen me and weaken me. Stop me and stir me. Waken me and rest me. Teach me and test me. Make me more like Christ. Make me fully human. Whether it be the cross or the crown, may your mercy and your might flood me and fill me, so that I long for God all the more. I don't know where you're at in your life. I know this. Jesus said it. You must be born again. And as we lean into this series, Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want premature birth. I want you to think on these things. I want you to think about what I've said to you today. I want you to examine your own heart and say, have I encountered the living God through my born-again experience where it really brought change in my life? Ask that question. And I'm telling you, if it hasn't, consider re-surrendering your life to Him. Consider maybe taking another step towards Him. Because I'm telling you, the freedom that God brings to a life is indescribable. Words just don't do it justice. And every time I get to this point in this message, I just start to lose it. Because I realize that without the redemptive power of God in my life, I'm not here. I don't have a life. I'm probably still sitting in a prison cell in Georgia or dead. Because that was the enemy's destiny for me. The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I came, Jesus said, I came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And I'm telling you, if you're new to this is your first time here, if you're just visiting because of baptisms or whatever, if you want to know what our church is about, we are about destroying the works of the enemy and bringing life to people who are dead in their trespasses and sins and inviting them into a life that flows like a river out of us to others. That's who we are as a church. Amen. I'm going to pray for you, then I'm going to let you go. And I apologize, I went 6 minutes over. But I'm not going to apologize. It is what it is, okay? I didn't even get to all my scriptures. I tried. Rocky, thanks for, you did good, buddy. He was a little worried when he saw those 31 slides this morning. All right, now let me pray for you. But Father, I thank you for every person in this room. And Lord, I pray, God, whatever this message spoke to them, wherever they're at in their journey, in their relationship with you, I'm asking, God, would you speak to them? Holy Spirit, if you're with them, would you convince them and convict them? Holy Spirit, if you're in them, would you encourage them and strengthen them? I'm asking, God, to do what only you can do, is change their life. Forever. I ask that in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.